Welcome back to Borat Club, where we have just finished watching the incredible 2006 picture, Borat, for the 47th of what we presume will be 48 times, Ryan, because my god, we are so close to the sequel, in theory, coming out.
Let me just say, Borat's back, baby.
He's back.
It's good again. This podcast, I think we've been a little morose on our last few episodes, a little downtrodden in a way that I think is not necessarily good to listen to. But I've got my second wind with this, and this is something that we've kind of talked about a little bit in private, but it's going to come up. There's been a lot of Borat-related news in the last week, a lot of SBC activity, but more importantly, since the last time we recorded this podcast, several very important people in the United States government have been diagnosed with a particular virus, shall we say?
Yeah.
And I would say the chance that one or several of them bites the dust thanks to it is noticeable.
It is.
And yeah, it can't be discounted. But I think that means if that happens, there's a chance that Borat 2 just does not get released, right? And that is... that has put light back into my life.
Yeah.
Like the double whammy of one or all of these people just beefing it, and then Sacha Baron Cohen getting cold feet and saying, no, we can't do this. Out of respect, I can't release this movie. That's how Bernie can still win. That's how we can still sort of beat him. In, I guess, the cosmic sense, you know, like he really slapped us down. But the idea that this movie just does not get released is so funny.
It's so good, right? Because like he was on his full, you know, at Kazakhstan government Twitter bullshit. He was tweeting on his personal account as Borat. He was out there. He was getting ready for this big thing. And then Trump got COVID and he stopped. Mm-hmm. He went radio silent from the time that the president of the United States was known to have COVID until he was back out and like being a shithead in front of the White House again. Like,
yeah,
it just makes me think that if Trump or Pence or any of these people do croak, that the movie's going to be delayed at least to, you know, like edit out the stuff that's disrespectful or whatever to that person.
Yeah.
Straight up canceled. Obviously, I would rather it be canceled. Like, if 2 weeks from now we're still watching Borat 1, like,
It'll be a double-edged sword, right? Because I'm kind of sick of watching Borat 1. Like, we are really... I feel like 52 is really the upper threshold for the amount of times a human can watch a film, you know, week to week.
Definitely.
And I feel like we're approaching it. Like, there's a few moments in it that still get me, like the guy saying, "Is that fishnet?" and pointing at his underwear, like him walking to the hotel, the driving instructor, you know, a few other bits here and there still get a bit of a chuckle, but...
yeah.
This movie is not meant to be seen, I would say, more than 5 times a year, much less 47. And I think it's a double-edged sword because, one, I would love for this movie to come out just to have something new to talk about on this podcast, but I know it's going to be bad, and it's going to suck to have to watch this movie another 5 times, but if that's the cosmic price I have to pay for the sort of humor of Borat 2 just not being released, I will gladly pay that toll.
Yeah.
And I think if it does happen, I think the only way it just does straight up does not come out is if Trump or Pence dies. I think if anyone else dies, there's still a chance it comes out, like, for sure. Yeah. But I think that if either of them beefs it, then that's it. And I think if that happens, there's a strong possibility that the movie leaks and we'll watch it anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But in terms of a big public release, I don't think there's any way, right? Like, the bit they keep promoing in the trailer and in the like video they posted on the account is where he comes in dressed as Trump with his daughter and he says, Michael Pence, I have gift for you. And so like if Pence dies, like this movie just doesn't happen. I truly believe that.
Yeah, it almost sounds like from what we've seen of the movie from the trailers and from things people have said about it, like it almost seems like it's focused more on Pence than Trump in a lot of ways, because yeah. It's all about gifting her to Trump, or not to Trump, to Pence. So
yeah,
and I mean, he supposedly at the time of recording has just been diagnosed yesterday, and it's like leaked that he's been diagnosed with it. So
it's in the air. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Like he was at the debate, his eye blew up on stage, and like they said it was pink eye, but that's one of the symptoms of COVID.
Yeah.
Then he immediately after the debate, he canceled all of his public appearances and flew back to Washington. And then earlier today, a Deadline story leaked that he had it that wasn't meant to be published. But instead of it being like a placeholder, just like, oh, you know, Pence has COVID, it explicitly said that he was diagnosed with it on Wednesday, which at the time of recording would have been yesterday. And so I don't know how true that is. You know, that could have just been a placeholder. But yeah. But who knows at this point? It's such a circus. It's such bullshit up and down, so who knows.
Yeah, it's pretty out of control, and in some ways it once again like reintroduces just this sort of chaos back into the world of Borat again that I feel like
yeah.
That I feel like we kind of haven't had as much of the last week or so, now that it's like all set in stone. But now the fact that like at the very last minute it might get thrown off, or like even like let's say right that Pence or Trump and or Trump wind up having
preferably a
wind up having whatever happen, and they don't die before the movie comes out, but they wind up on ventilators, they wind up in the hospital, they wind up in serious condition. Does the movie mm-hmm. still come out on time? Does it get pushed back? You know, like
I think if that happens, it gets pushed back. I just feel like the whole thing with Sacha Baron Cohen is, you know, he released this article today, which I did read, and I thought it was all right. Like, it was a fine article from him, kind of talking about how Facebook has become, like, the propaganda machine of the right wing, which, you know, is kind of his drum that he beats for the time being, which, you know, understandable. He's right.
Like he
no matter how he says it, like that is, I think, undeniably true. But I think the language of that article and the way that he refers to himself in character as Borat makes it very clear that this movie is meant for that very hyper specific bubble of, you know, liberals or Democrats who, you know, think that they're like so, I guess, morally superior and so kind of right in their political beliefs that they see something like Borat and they're like, oh, of course, everyone knows that this has to be fake, right? Like everyone knows that, you know, he's not taking this seriously and that kind of thing. Like, oh,
right.
We can laugh at him saying the N-word or whatever because, oh, it's, you know, we're so good and correct in all of our opinions. But then at the same time, he definitely strikes me as the kind of person who, if Trump dies after calling him a fascist for like 4 years, he's going to be like, no, I have to respect him. I can't release this. Yeah.
It'll be, you know, 100% like a you don't speak ill of the dead kind of thing, even though if the dead is a like repugnant fascist, I feel like it's pretty all right to speak ill of them.
Yeah, and you know, we could see he could surprise us on this one. I feel like there's a chance that he just, you know, says fuck it and releases it anyway, which I would love. I would love for him to be like, yeah, you know, forget it. I hate this dude. This movie's coming out regardless. Like, I think that would be nice. But
I think it would. I think it would show some real like guts on his part. Like it would say that maybe he, for all his faults and the horrible way he presents a lot of stuff, and completely not funny way he presents most of it. Like, maybe he's, like, coming around on, like, oh, this is, like, Trump is bad, but, like, Trump is the symptom of a larger disease, you know? And, like, just, like, going, oh, Trump is dead now, or Pence is dead now, if that happens, like, with either one of them. Like, it's not going to go away. Like, if anything, it might get even... It might get even more...
Like,
you know, like it the last thing like you really want here, I feel like, is for Trump or Pence or both of them to become martyrs, right? Which is
very possible.
Very possible if either one of them dies and people like try to pull the like, no, we gotta respect them thing, you know, like
Yeah, totally. And, like, I think the political implications of one of them dying is going to be very complicated and, you know, certainly outside the scope of me on this podcast to be able to predict, but it'd be funny. It'd be really funny is the thing.
It'd be funny.
Just in a cosmic sense, you know, and also in every other sense. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. He, being Sacha Baron Cohen, I just feel like I want this man, after all this time, to just put his money where his mouth is on this kind of thing, you know? Like, it's not enough to release your hour and a half South Park movie to me anymore. Like, if he's gonna talk the talk on this kind of shit, he's gonna walk the walk, right? And I think him outright calling, you know, Trump a fascist in this article is good. Like, I'm glad that he doesn't dance around it in that sort of sense, and he's not like, oh, he bad, you know, ooh, naughty, naughty man.
Yeah.
No, he's very to the point, and I will say, respect. I do respect him coming out and saying that, but if he just turns around and is like, get well soon, Trump. No one should have to go through this. Then I will immediately lose any respect points this man has garnered with me. You know who's out here sticking to his guns? Dave Bautista. That man's doing it, and God bless, honestly. God bless.
He seems like a dude who has his head on surprisingly straight for somebody who spent like a decade plus working for Vince McMahon. But yeah, like, I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, SBC is clearly well-educated and clearly, like, understands a lot of the wider issues when it comes to the rise of fascism in the West, and, like, it understands a lot about misinformation and fake news and how all this shit spreads and how, like, easy it is to prop up an army of people based on misinformation or whatever. But there's always been that disconnect, as we've talked about, between that and his, like, attempts to satirize it. So, how Borat tackles it.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up a couple quotes from this article. The other thing while I'm pulling this up that I'll say is we have confirmation in from this article that that really bad bit he did at the gun rally where he sang the right wing song is going to be in the film.
Yes.
So we have that to look forward to.
Great.
But awesome. He has some like he talks about when he filmed Bruno, he feared for his life when he did the cage match scene at the end. Then he says, moments like that are frightening today, though. I'm truly terrified for the survival of democracy itself. Hate, lies, and conspiracies spread by demagogues and spread through social media. So here's what he says here. For most of my career, I've been reluctant to take a public stance on the issues of the day. I felt more comfortable in character or in a mankini. Yes, a lot of my comedy is uncomfortably pubescent, but when it works, satire can humble the powerful and expose the ills of society. Now, that is a true statement, but whether or not he succeeds that is, you know, up to debate. By getting people to reveal what they really believe, I have at times exposed the ignorance, bigotry, and conspiratorial delusions that often lurk just below the surface of our modern lives. Now, again, technically true, but I think you have also revealed a little bit about yourself in the process of doing this. So, yeah.
I'm like, really worried about the fact that he's, like, up until now, I've been afraid to state my opinion, or, you know, like, to put his opinion into comedy, especially when you, like, take that and then you take some of the things we've heard about this, like with the Rudy Giuliani thing or whatever. Like, if Borat 2 is going to be more than just a takedown of Pence and Trump, more than just a takedown of, like, people who don't believe COVID is a thing, and is going to also be him making comments and taking a political stand on all the issues of the day, to use his terminology, like, I'm terrified for what some of those positions may wind up being, because he's never, whatever he might want to believe or whatever he might want to say, he's never been good with LGBT stuff. He's never been good with race stuff. So, like, I don't know, like, this could be dicey territory he's getting into here.
So I have skimmed back over this article. I was wrong. He does not actually call Trump a fascist in this article.
Okay.
He calls him authoritarian and says he incites violence and that kind of thing. So he does sort of dance around it.
He does.
That sense. Yeah. So not gonna off-watch that one. He talks a lot about in this how Facebook banned QAnon and likens that to how the Nazis were anti-Semitic in terms of their conspiracy theories. So still a pretty, like, decent argument on his part, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is, I suppose. And I think you're right in that the most interesting part of this is kind of fearing for what he thinks is speaking out about the issues at this point, because this article is fine. Like, it's decent enough, but it's nothing particularly groundbreaking. Right. And I just don't know what else he's going to set his sights on after this. And I really worry what's going to happen if, like, we've talked about, the movie flops and then he kind of horseshoes back around to being, like, pissed off at the people on the left for not thinking his funny, you know, movie where he says a slur is good, right? So who knows?
Yeah, like, is Borat 3 gonna come out in a year and a half and be this, like, or maybe some new character come out in a year and a half and be this, like, old man trying to take swipes at young people again? Like, is he gonna start, like, aiming at people in their 30s and 20s and teens? Like, is that going to be his thing? Like, oh, it's the kids today, it's the young people, it's the millennials and the zoomers.
I mean, like, he kind of did that a little bit in Who Is America, right? Like, he had this he had this character who was, like, hair dyed YouTuber kind of thing, and he did, like, unboxings with, like, the fascist sheriff from Arizona or that was.
Yeah, his weird, like, so, PewDiePie thing that he did.
And he was he did the whole, like, oh, I have a son that identifies as a dolphin bit or whatever that was.
Yeah, there was that as well. Yeah. So
it's definitely on the docket, right? I think I feel like if this goes poorly, he just leans more into that and becomes even more insufferable. But who knows? Like, this whole year has been chaos, right? But just when you think, bitch, you thought, here it is getting even worse. So who knows? Like, I really don't even know at this point. I have just kind of given up any semblance of pretending to have any predictions towards where the news cycle is going at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll just see what shakes loose, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, judging by the way things are going, we're going to be hearing a lot about water being taken out to the ocean for fish or something in the next week.
I don't even have anything to, like, say. Do we want to talk about the movie, like, the movie we watched this week?
We could talk about the movie we watched. We have, like, sort of started to, or not started, but, like, we've sort of been looking extra hard, I guess, today for just anything new in the background. You know, we don't want to miss any little touches before we say goodbye to Borat and Azamat and Lunel and, you know, move on with our lives. And I don't know. I didn't really feel like there was anything that was popping out at me as particularly new this week.
No, I think we noticed... for some reason, I really tuned into the sound in this fake kind of sound design, but I think it may be my audio mixer settings or like my headphones, but I noticed in the background of a lot of scenes, like incidental sounds, like when he walks into the lobby and his pants are pulled down, which is still like the only evergreen bit of this whole movie, right? Like the only, the true like shining moment of
the
this
one
whole
perfect
thing.
Shot. Yeah.
One perfect shot. Yeah. When the people are confronting him about it afterwards, you can hear like lobby music in the background really faintly. There's police sirens in a lot of scenes you can hear, like when he's talking to the dudes outside the school, and one other bit that I can't remember off the top of my head.
It was when he's buying the car.
Yeah. There's police sirens in the back of that. So we noticed stuff like that. I feel like we noticed one other really small thing here or there. I just, it's bittersweet, right? Because on one hand, I'm really sick of looking at this movie and I'm tired of it, you know? But it's like, oh, damn, we only have one more time to see, you know, the dude saying, is that fishnet? Oh, we only have one more time to, you know, get, we must not hit the children. We only have one more time to hear about the Hotel Wellington, you know? Like, we've come so far in this journey, and yet we really haven't gone anywhere at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, like, think in my head, like, what am I going to miss? Who am I going to miss? And really,
right, we did talk about that.
Yeah, like, it's... We're going to miss the driving instructor. We're going to miss the car salesman. We're maybe going to miss Pat Haggerty, right?
But yeah, just that back-to-back trinity of the dudes rock right up at the front of this film.
Yeah. But other than that, like, we're going to miss Wolverine, obviously. We definitely keep on...
Wolverines, yeah.
Yeah, Wolverines not being somebody we're going to see an awful lot of going forward, presumably.
I wouldn't think so, no.
I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that a guy dressed kind of like that will be at, like, the right-wing gun show thing that he was at.
Yeah, like a Punisher suit with jeans or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss the wild zoom it does while they're on the porch of Linnell's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss where he this actually got me this time after all these viewings, when he lets the chicken loose in the subway and you just hear him mutter, oh shit, like in the background as it escapes.
Yeah, so that's, some of the commuters on that train are pretty good with their reactions. What else? I mean, I feel like we're gonna miss the like 11.5 gallon hat.
Yeah, that's a good. What's going to be our least missed bits?
Oh, definitely the fucking dinner scene, because that thing just goes forever.
Every time we watch that, it's like the opposite of the car dealership scene, right? And you said this, like the car dealership scene, it felt like we kept discovering things in it the more we watched it. The dinner scene is like that too, where I feel like about 5 seconds has been added to every viewing. And it just feels fully 25 minutes long at this point. Like, it drags so badly. Won't miss that. I won't miss the antique store scene where he does his Three Stooges bit.
Definitely no. Not. Won't miss the frat boys. I will miss their delivery of sucking some dick.
You see her sucking dick?
Yeah, like...
That's classic. Like, that's honest to God the best thing about that whole scene.
Yeah, it's legitimately, like, if you put that delivery in, like, an actual, like, intentional, like, scripted comedy, you'd be like, that's hilarious. That's really done.
Yeah. I won't miss the church scene. It's not as bad as the dinner scene, but I feel like it doesn't really do anything.
It feels like it's getting longer to me, the church scene. Like,
yeah, just kind of boring, really.
Yeah, because there's no real comedy in it other than, like, him doing the bit about his neighbor, I guess, or, like, just the fact that, like, isn't it funny that I'm at a church? Look at these people for being religious. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know.
I'm gonna miss the hand tremble in the rodeo scene.
Yeah.
Gonna miss his rendition of the Kazakh national anthem.
Yeah, we won't be able to sing that together anymore, which
I don't know.
It's kind of become a tradition.
It's become a tradition, yeah. Every time we've watched this for the last, I'd say, at least 15 episodes, we've kind of sung along with the national anthem. I will not miss the hearing the man at the rodeo talk about killing gay people.
No.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that in the sequel, though. Won't miss really any of the DC stuff except for Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Love to see Mr. Clean make a comeback.
Yeah, we did kind of talk about like how we would like him to come back, but we could like take or leave the other dude that's with him. Like, I mean, no offense to that dude, but he's just not memorable, you know, whereas Mr.
He's
Clean
completely
is,
unremarkable.
Yeah, Mr. Clean is just, he's one of the icons of the movie, and he doesn't even get anything to do, because he's not the guy that's wrestling with Borat, he doesn't go into the bathroom with Borat, he just sort of waves the fist around, and that's kind of all he does.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am not going to miss the part at the bed and breakfast where they're like, the Jews have shapeshifted into cockroaches and they're throwing money at them. Definitely won't miss that. What else? I will miss him, like, hanging out in front of the school and his, like, catboy underwear showing. Obviously, we'll miss him going into the hotel immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're...
I'll miss Azamat. I'll be real.
Yeah, I'll miss Azamat.
He's like the, I mean, he's not a great character, you know, but he's sort of the normalizing presence played against Borat.
He does ground the movie a little bit. He kind of, like, I dread to think what Borat could be like without a character like that who's sort of acting as the stabilizing presence in Borat's life.
That's one of my big worries about the sequel is that I'm afraid that the daughter character is going to be just as wild as Borat is, and it's going to just be them doing incest jokes back and forth for like an hour and a half. So yeah,
I'm really worried that because it's likely to be so heavily like improvised that there's going to be an element of sort of competition between him and his daughter, like who to steal each scene. And that they're just going to keep ramping up the scenes over and over and over until eventually SBC wins the scene or whatever. Like, I'm really worried that there's going to be this, like, palpable tension in those moments between the two of them where they're both trying to be the funniest person in the room.
It's going to be like this scene where he's in the hotel Wellington and he goes up the elevator and he keeps repeating the punchline. Yeah. Except two people do it over and over again until everyone's just sick of their nonsense.
Yeah, it's that, except it's stretched out for 90 minutes and there's another Borat who's just a young girl.
Oh, God.
Like,
I'm so scared. I'm like, at this point, I feel like I know what to expect from SBC in that film, right? And like the politics of it all. But the daughter character has thrown in such a wild card. Like, that's the genuine wild card that really, really terrifies me about that film. I don't think it's going to be a good thing at all. I think they're going to make some very bad jokes with that character. So we'll see what happens.
I expect them to, but as I kind of think of it, I'm kind of wondering, like, how much the daughter is actually going to be involved, because, like...
Really? Okay.
Like, if you think about the trailer, right, where there's this whole section where he's, you know, with the, like, I don't know, they're, like, preppers or whatever they are, you know, like, it's him and these dudes in this, like, log cabin or whatever, and there's no sign of her. So I'm wondering, like, does she, for whatever reason, go out of the movie? Does he get to Pence very early in the movie? Does she show up halfway through the movie? Is like, oh, she got sent by mail from Kazakhstan or whatever. You know, like, she arrived 2 weeks late because the postal service or whatever, you know, like...
I think if I had to guess, if I had to guess, this is my idea for the structure of this film, right?
Mm.
We know that they put a quote-unquote emotional core in the original film, right? Like mm-hmm. it has the original film has a very conventional plot structure to it.
Yes.
And I think the second one will as well. I think how the three-act structure of the film goes is the inciting incident is that he has to return to America because, you know, Kazakhstan has been quote-unquote diminished for some reason. And he takes his daughter, right? And so the first leg of the film is him getting his daughter prepared and him getting himself prepared to take to Pence, right? And then what happens is either he delivers her to Pence and it goes wrong, or something happens between them and there is a rift between the two of them,
yeah.
like what happens with Azamat. And this yeah. is sort of the low point of the film. This is the midpoint. And he wanders off on his own, and that's when we get him, like, on his own in the cabin or something, right?
Yeah.
And then something else calls him back to action, like he sees his daughter on TV or something like that, and he goes and he reconnects with her, and either they end it on, like, a fairly emotional moment or, like, something else big. I don't think the Pence thing is going to be the big ending because they've shown it in the trailers already.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong about that. Like, I would think he'd want to go for something pretty big and shocking. But
yeah,
you know, like, who knows?
Yeah, there'll have to be like a big shock incident, I guess, at the end, a la, like the Pamela thing. Because with the Pence thing, he would have just been thrown out by security like immediately. It's like,
and he did, yeah, yeah. And we saw the video of that happening.
It's like, oh, there's a dude yelling, throw him out, like, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't have your whole movie build up to him just yelling at Pence and then being dragged out by security. You have to find something else to end it on. So
mm-hmm.
maybe that's, you know, maybe he has to save his daughter. Maybe she gets kidnapped after the rally where he tries to present her to mm-hmm. Pence. He's got to rescue her from Azamat and then they reunite at the end and it's all a big happy family or... You know, who knows?
Yeah. I think there's going to be, like, a very, like, twisted, ostensibly wholesome ending where he, like, reconnects with his daughter, but in, like, a weird, kind of messed up Borat sort of way, you know? Yeah,
I think, like, he'll reconnect with her and they'll play off the incest thing again in the ending, or he'll marry God. Her or something at the end because it's
That's
fucking...
what I'm afraid of. It's going to end with them getting married, right?
It's like... Here's my prediction for it. It ends with them getting married at a chapel in Las Vegas.
Okay.
That's,
all right.
That's what I'm thinking.
I kind of dig that. Okay. And Pamela Anderson. I really do think Pamela Anderson's going to be in this movie. Like, I have no hard evidence for that, but if they're going to call back to, like, his costume with the fishnet, I feel like there's going to be at least a couple things that tangibly call back to the first film. And I would yeah. be... I think there's going to be a scene where, like, he's driving down the highway or something, and there's a throwaway gag where Pamela Anderson is driving by or something, or, like, he sees her on the street or something like that, or sees, like, a poster or whatever else. But, an important update has been installed. Thank you, HP Support Assistant. An important update to HP Support Assistant has been installed in your HP notebook. This update improves security and performance. Okay, well, let's hope this doesn't just crash my computer. I'm not clicking on that window until we're done recording this podcast.
I legitimately thought you were about to say there's an important update about, like, Pence or Trump.
No, I mean, I can check. I don't know if Trump is still, like, coughing live on Sean Hannity or anything like that, but I guess there's a possibility. What else do we got going on? How do we feel about the idea that there's just going to be back-to-back scenes of him in these auxiliary characters as Borat in this film?
Bad. I feel like his other characters all suck shit in a way.
They're
that,
not
that
good
even
is
Borat
the thing.
Doesn't, right? Like, I feel like, you know, you look at his original characters, his Ali G, Borat, Bruno, they all have defined personalities, and they are what they are. They're all stereotypes, and they're all negative stereotypes, but they're at least sort of fleshed out, whereas everything else he's done is a one-note joke based on, you know,
yes,
like one thing.
Yeah.
So I'm very like worried that it's all just going to be, I'm the gun guy, or I'm the fucking e-girl man or something, like I'm the simp, or whatever, you know, like it's gonna
it's
be bad.
Literally master of disguise, huh?
It
like
is.
That's what this movie is. God damn it.
Here's the callback, right, from the first movie. He's gonna show up as a turtle and he's like, I am a cat in the hat, you know, there you go.
I hate that. Fuck off. I think you're right. That's kind of the take that I had on it too, is for whatever you want to say about Ali G and Bruno and Borat, they're very like, and I think I've talked about this before, they're characters that he understands, right? Like he knows the ins and outs of these characters, but everything else you see by him is in such broad, like caricaturish strokes. And I think that's fine, right? But the thing about broad characters like that is they tend to be fairly hit or miss.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the performance. And I feel like so much of his performances fall into like a couple different categories, right? It's either number one, you know, extremely arrogant man, number two, extremely oblivious man, or number three, extremely racist man. And right. those are kind of the three slots that he kind of slots himself into for most of the time,
right?
And
it's largely like those archetypes with just different like baby voices. Like it's
yeah.
You know, it's there's nothing about any of the characters he's debuted since Bruno, which is like it just hurts me to even say that, like to even give Bruno that much credit. But like
I
there's
think
just nothing
right.
to them, right?
Yeah,
like, they're nothing. And his demonstrated lack of ability to satirize things in a way that's actually funny, as opposed to, well, I'm making myself laugh, so therefore everyone else is going to think it's funny. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's not going to be good. I think I'm done being mad about it at this point. And
yeah.
I think I'll be mad about it when we actually watch it. Like, I have no doubt it's going to piss me off, but maybe it'll be funny, you know? But I just want to see what happens. I'm along for the ride. And I think that I would say it may be a slim chance, but there's definitely a chance that this movie just straight up does not come out. And I think that would be way more interesting in terms of the cultural context than it actually releasing.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I would say that if it doesn't come out, that is like, then it becomes a weird like relic and this like piece of lost cinema that in any other era would have been like this like cool thing that might someday get out there and might someday exist, but if they cancel it, it's just going to be out on the internet anyway in like 24 hours, so
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
And you want to talk about it being a relic, like that's going to happen anyway, right? Like
yeah.
6 years from now, it's going to be the most dated film on earth.
Oh, totally.
Like just truly, like here's the two outcomes is that number one, you know, Trump or Pence gets elected and then he looks like an idiot because this epic clapback movie he released did absolutely nothing. Or number two, you know, Biden gets elected and then 4 years from now, everyone looks back on Trump like George W. Bush and it's just this like stupid movie, right? And I don't
right.
think that's possible in and of itself, because I think Trump has done lasting harm to sort of, you know, the American political system, outside of the harm that has been done to it already, you know. And uh-huh. so, I don't know. I know liberals are very keen to sort of rehabilitate fascism in the American political system. Everyone just sort of remembers George Bush as the funny man who paints and kind of looks like a monkey a bit, instead
yeah.
of the guy that, you know, got us into a war that's gone for 19 years and you know, instituted extremely... I don't have to get into what George Bush did on this podcast. People should know.
But, yeah.
But, like I get this horrible feeling that for all the bluster about it now, you know, 4 years from now, if he doesn't get elected, 6 years from now, Trump will just be kind of like, oh, he was a real dumbass, but what are you going to do? When it's like, no, this man is, like, evil.
Yeah, like, just like, straight actively, up evil. Like... one of the worst people in the world. Like,
so no matter what happens with this movie in a certain amount of time, it will just be an instantaneous fossil. Like we talked about, and you have pointed out specifically, because I don't really want to believe it, that there's going to be a lot of memes in this film.
Yeah, I think so.
Like in terms of the music, I think at one point you told me Borat was going to dab or do Gangnam Style, which I just hate. Like, yeah. I really just hate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've said that on the podcast, but I am 95% sure that he's going to at least dab during the movie. If he I would rather see him do Gangnam Style than do a dab, because it's so dated. Like, it's like, not that dabbing isn't dated, because it is, but like, if he was to do the like horse riding move from like Gangnam Style, you know, and he was like Oppa Borat style or whatever, I would think that is like amazing, because it would just I would love it so much, because it would be the most dated reference he could possibly make. Like, the only thing that would be like worse would be like if he picked up a phone at some point and went "Waza," right? Like, it's so
that would be good. That would be good.
As I was saying that, I was honestly kind of like, actually, that kind of might work, but
that one's just far gone enough that it would be like. Like, it would be like, oh, what a smartphone, ah, what's up? Like, it would be so bad that I think it would loop around to being funny again.
Yeah, like, fully fucking grown adults watching the movie who were, like, not even born when that ad came out, and just being like, what the fuck is he doing? What? And, like, what's up coming back in, like, a, like, Borat bringing back Waza for Zoomers. Like,
I mean, that's basically what my wife is going to be, right?
It is, yeah. That's basically what my wife is going to be. Probably very nice, probably great success, possibly Wawa Weewa, you know?
I think it's time, and this is something that's been in our orbit for a bit behind the scenes, but I think it's time to bring back the very bad parody film, right? Like, yeah. We need to get Americans back in theaters. We've got Croods 2 coming out. We've got The War with Grandpa coming out this holiday season. You can go see these films with your family, and you can be put on a ventilator because of it. But yeah. I just think that they're not a strong enough draw. I think we need to get the Wayans back. I think we need to get whoever it was that wrote Epic Movie and Disaster Movie.
Yeah, Freebird and Seltzer. We need those boys back. We need the...
Didn't they... They allegedly had a Star Wars movie coming out, right? Like episode 24, The Last Skywalker, who you know, fucked Han Solo in the back of Rogue One or whatever that
something
was.
Something like that, yeah. But it, like, there hasn't been any news on it for, like, 2 or 3 years now. I don't think that's coming out. I don't think... I think after their Fast and Furious parody did so poorly, nobody's ever gonna give them any money again to do stuff. But we need them back, you know, and we need the people who made Stan Helsing back. We need the people who made Shriek, if you still know what I did last Friday the 13th back. We need all those like garbage ass fucking trash fire movies that are just people pointing and going, hey, you remember this thing? Like, we need those back. Although maybe that's just what YouTube is now in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, like, I think we could write one, right?
Like, oh, we could, yeah.
Yeah, so the one that Friedberg and Seltzer were allegedly working on, I don't know if this was ever confirmed or if it was just rumored, was called Star Worlds Episode XXXIVE equals MC squared, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi Who Went Rogue. So, you know what? I would have seen that. I'm a Star Wars fan. I think the new trilogy was pretty much hot garbage. I think a lot of the Disney Star Wars stuff is not very good, but I have a lot of nostalgia for that franchise. I I will fess up, I would have gone to see that movie. Yeah. Just straight up.
Well,
just straight up.
Maybe if it ever actually comes out now, Ryan, because, you know, somebody in Hollywood is going to be like, oh, we need somebody who has a track record of producing at some point because we can't take risks. Freeburg and Seltzer, you go do memes from 3 years ago. You know, maybe we could get Borat back in one of their movies. You know, he can be the end gag again.
We could do a Freeburg and Seltzer style parody of like documentary anti-comedy style comedy of like All Gas, like Eric Andre and Borat. I don't even know what that would be called, right? Like, half gas the Borat Andre show or something like that.
Half gas cut breaks, something like that.
yeah. I think the idea is certainly there. I don't have much else to say about Borat, but do we want to talk really quickly as we wrap this up about Monster Hunter and Resident Evil?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about Monster Hunter last week, but it did get a date now. It's like the 30th of December, so
God,
that thing is going to be on VOD, I would assume, probably by the like 6th or 7th of January. That thing's being
it's
sent out to
die. It's
going to
come out in theaters and make like $500,000, and
yeah,
that's gonna
it's being sent out to die. They're rebooting, I guess, the Resident Evil film franchise, as well as the like Netflix shows that they're making. They're also doing a new movie, and based on who the director is, I have very little faith in it.
No, allegedly, I think the plan is to do a straight series that are quote unquote a lot more accurate to the games than the Anderson's one were, which is sacrilegious. Like those can't be accurate. It just doesn't work. But they want to be accurate to, I think, 1, 2, and 3, and do the whole kind of Raccoon City type thing with the cast that they have.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see what shakes loose out of that. It's still being bankrolled by Scream Gems and Constantine.
Yeah, which like is that if nothing else gives me a little bit of hope in it. I think the idea of Neil McDonough playing William Birkin is very, very funny. I think
it is. It's great.
It's very good casting. Very, very upset that Sean Roberts isn't coming back to be Wesker, because
yeah, that's an L.
Yeah, God, like I'm looking at the director's work here. He did Storage 24, which was a terrible movie. He did the sequel to The Strangers, which was a terrible movie, but did have like this really hilarious shot in it, which is good. He did the 47 meters down shark movies. He did The Other Side of the Door, which I've heard is kind of okay, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Sure.
But based on what I've seen that he's worked on, he also did a lot of low budget clown movies, which is, you know,
okay, sure.
Take that for what it's worth. I think I remember also looking at, the guy who's writing it also wrote the upcoming Saints Row, Space Invaders, Mortal Kombat, and Death Note movies.
God.
So,
good Lord.
Yeah, so that guy is
it's going to be a hit. It's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, the cast for this, I don't know, it looks like a bunch of very pretty people who I have never heard of, and Neil McDonough, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that's pretty much it until next week. We'll see if anyone bites the dust during the next week and if the movie gets canceled. But is there anything you want to wrap up as we finish out episode number, 47?
47,
of Borat
yeah.
Club?
I do.
Wow.
I do want to, because we talked about the Kazakhstan government accounts last week, and he did stop tweeting from it when Trump was sick, but he did tweet last night again during the VP debate, and like we read off, you know, how bad his original tweets with this were, but this one is, I think, maybe the worst of them all so far.
I thought the P-tape one was pretty bad, but go ahead and hit me with this one.
So this is the one he tweeted from the VP debate. Okay. And I'm reading this verbatim as it's written, so, you know.
You take no pleasure in this.
No, I don't. So, it a big night. Vice pussy grabber Mikhail Pence is alone in room with a woman who not his wife for first time in 37 years. Congratulations for crushing her, just like your Premier McDonald crushed the COVID.
Great.
That's comedy. That's comedy.
That's comedy,
that's
folks.
That's funny.
That's real good stuff.
Like, again, we said it last week, but I'll say it again. If this is the level we're working with, may God help us.
The fabled movie of zero laughs. It's coming. I can feel it.
It could
the
well
closest,
be
the closest I've ever got to a movie of zero laughs is Master of Disguise, in which I had one. So I would, I will be very interested to see if Borat can top that. Probably not. I'm probably going to laugh at it, but we'll see what shakes loose.
Yeah. I still think there will be at least, like, one good gag in Borat 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, even in the first trailer, there's the bit where he's strapped to the carnival game and they hit it with a mallet and it eviscerates his nutsack. So that's something to look forward to.
You love to see Borat get hurt.
You do. You really do. You know what? We talked a lot about how we wanted to see his cock get snapped off in the sequel, and they may actually deliver on that.
Oh my god. Maybe that's going to be like the gruesome, like, shock point is that his cock actually gets snapped off.
Oh god, let's go ahead and close this one out.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, Ryan, you do another podcast. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, I do Emoji Drome with Sylvia from Friends at the Table. I believe the one that we just recorded was the candle emoji, which is probably going to be out by the time this one comes up. I just have to finish editing that. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I have been a little more active in the last 3 days just because of the buzz, you know, the must-see event of the month. Yeah, exactly. So I'm on there at CurseGoat. I've talked about it a bit before, but I should have a comic project coming out by Halloween, so keep an eye out for that if that's something you're interested in. What about you, Niall? What are you up to?
You can find my video game stuff at videogamechoochoo.com. I do not have a personal Twitter, but Borat Club does. We're at Borat Club. You can also hit us up via email at boratclubcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on Borat, if you have any. Boy, we would love anything new for next week.
I should go get some champagne or something and pop it off like I was planning to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know we won't be finishing the 52 with the first one, but it's still a milestone.
No, but it's something. We would have gotten there if it hadn't been for the sequel. If you enjoy Borat Club, we would love if you told a friend. If you left us a nice review or a rating wherever you get your podcasts, it's very much appreciated. It's the only way the show grows. And yeah, Ryan, thank you as always for joining me. We're so close to this being over.
We're so close, my God.
Next week is the final time we have to watch Borat. Next week.
For now. We'll see.
Maybe.
Probably.
Possibly. So until then, take care of yourself. Wear a mask, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.